Tonight I would like for you to think with me on this topic, with Christ. With Christ. I'll begin reading in the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, and the powerful passage depicting Christ, that He is coming, Messiah. For the Jew, this is a very important chapter because it looks forward to the Deliverer, to the Messiah. It says in Isaiah 53, verse 1, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid it as were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are what? We are healed." Anyone in this auditorium tonight that you have a physical problem, you just need to know Jesus has been there first. And with his stripes we are healed. He says in verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of quite a few of us." All. Every sin from every person has been laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ. "He was oppressed and he was not afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter." Go back to the Word of God reading in Exodus 12. And we had the Passover depicted, a lamb, the lamb, your lamb. Now we're at Isaiah, and this is saying when he comes, the Messiah, he'll be as a lamb to the slaughter. And actually what happened is Jesus Christ became the last sin offering. After him, there's no more sin offering needed. He died once and for all. He gave himself for the sins of the people. And that's why to this day we do not have animal sacrifice like they did in the Old Testament. The Old Testament, they're looking forward to the cross in believing. How was Abraham saved? How was Isaac saved? They were saved by faith. That they were looking to the cross, believing the Messiah's coming. On the other side of the cross, we believe by faith Jesus is exactly who he said he was. How are we saved? By faith. We're saved just like the Old Testament. They looked forward to the cross. We look back to the cross. And there's no animal sacrifice today because after Jesus was up on the cross, then he died once and for all. That's why this passage is so important. What all of this is about is identification. It is identifying with Christ. But more than that, it is Christ identifying with us. And that's why I said with Christ, that you would understand what God is doing and why God is doing that. We're dealing tonight, church, with an almost unknown fact. Very few Bible students, very few churches even discuss the identification with Christ. They to even deal with that. And what does this identification mean? What is it all about? It means that we are with Christ. And Christ is with us. It's not just verbiage. It's just not letters on a page. But it's a living truth to be enjoyed by the Bible believer. It actually means our complete union with Him in His substitutionary sacrifice. What does that mean? It means He took my place. If I got what I deserve, they would nail me to a cross and crucify me for my sins. If you got what you deserve, of all that we've said, all that we've done, all that we've thought, all that we've acted out, we should have died for our sins. But we didn't die for our sins. Justice demanded that we die. Somebody's got to pay a penalty. Somebody's got to pay for sin. But we didn't get justice. We got justified. And I love that word, just as if I had never sinned. So this is all about substitution. Someone took my place. Now, this term is used, if you think about it, sometimes we hear people saying in a song or talking, I have been crucified with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. And that literally is our identification with Christ in His crucifixion. If you're making notes, that is the focal point. That is the beginning. That is the place of starting the study, is that He was crucified. And when He was crucified, I was in Him when He was crucified. I was in Him. And we'll explain how that happened. Because what happened that day, what did we just read? Verse 5. He was wounded for what? Our transgressions. He was bruised for what? Our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. In other words, I can go to bed tonight, I can put my head on my pillow, and I can have peace on the inside. If I don't have Jesus in me, there is no peace. That's why we call Him the Prince of Peace. There's no peace outside of Him. Church, you've got to fall in love afresh and anew with your Bible, and you've got to fall in love with studying the Word of God afresh and anew, because what's coming on this land and what's coming on our world and what's coming against our families and our children, we've got to have the peace of the Word of God. I spoke with a family earlier today, and they said, I don't think I can eat a meal. I don't think I can go to sleep. I don't think I can live. I can't fix all these problems. And I'm saying, you can't and you won't and you cannot and you will not. Get out of that gear. You've got to take all of this problem, all of this burden, all of this stress. You got to put a bow on it and you got to carry it to Calvary and set it at the foot of the cross and cast all of your care upon Him. My job's not to fix it. Your job's not to repair it. Your job is not to put it together. Your job is not to make it right. Your job is to trust this mighty God we serve, to declare His Word, to say, upon You, I give this, I commit this to You, and by faith I trust You and the power and the authority of Your Holy Word. There's where the victory's coming for the body of Christ. I literally want you to understand tonight that when we talk about this, I died with Christ. I was buried with Christ. I was made alive with Christ. I am seated with Christ. We can sometimes understand a little bit about crucifixion. We know that we deserve punishment for our sin. We understand a little bit about resurrection, Easter, made alive with Christ. Old things are passed away, all things become new. I was dead in trespass and sin. We can process that to a certain point. But ladies and gentlemen, the church tonight has a problem understanding that I am seated with Christ in the heavenlies. That's hard to understand. That's hard to process, that I am with Christ. The key to all of this study is that little preposition with. It's the key that unlocks this hidden truth. It is vitally important to us as students of the Word. Go to Isaiah 53 and look at verse 3 again. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Has anyone in this auditorium ever had a grieving heart? Have you ever buried a loved one? Have you ever been separated by circumstances? And that terror and that horror and that fear and that suffering and that grief? Have you ever had a broken relationship? Have you ever had someone betray your love? That's a grieving heart. That's a hurting heart. How do I handle that pain? What do I do with that? Listen to this. And it says, not only is he acquainted with grief, but he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne what? Our griefs. He knows about them and he's handled them. He's taking them. He's putting them together with you. It was what God has done for me and for you. Now, all of these things that Jesus Christ is experiencing, the Jewish Sanhedrin didn't do this. The Roman rulers didn't do this. The guards didn't do this. The army didn't do all these things. Everything we're reading about, God did this. Now you think about that. God did this. It shocks us when we realize that he was stricken and smitten by God. But what happened is, when he told the Father, I'll take Ralph's sin, then he said, then you will have to take Ralph's punishment. We've all read the story, the old school textbooks. There used to be a story about a man that was in school to learn to read in the first grade, and he had already gotten up to like 17, 18 years of age. And he had to go to the first grade one-room schoolhouse. And he was nicknamed Big Sam. And one of the little boys in the first grade, 6 years old, got in trouble. And he was going to be punished. He was going to be whipped. And Big Sam was very tender-hearted. And he went up and told the teacher, don't whip the little boy. You whip me. I'll take his whipping. The teacher said, Sam, you didn't do anything. He said, no, I know it. But he said, the other day I was so hungry, I had water in my mouth. And that little boy shared his biscuit with me. He cared about me. And he said, he's a friend. And he said, I'll take his whipping. I'm bigger and I'm able. And he took the stripes for that little guy because of their friendship of what had happened prior to that. And, you know, that's a old folklore story from the school days, the McGuffey Reader days of friendship and someone taking your place. But boy, the Bible lesson in there is that you sinned and I sinned and we were going to be corrected. There was going to be chastisement poured out upon us and we were going to be corrected. And Jesus said, I will not only bear his sin, I will not only bear his grief, but I'll take his chastisement. I'll take his whipping. Identified with Christ. You see, that's what God's doing in his Word. He's making it come alive for you and for me. Isaiah 53:10. Listen to this. Look at Isaiah 53:10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Now you think about what we just read. It pleased God to bruise his own son. Now some of this is pretty deep stuff to think about. It pleased God to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. God put him there to take my grief and to take your grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. God said, I will allow Jesus to be the sin offering. I'll allow him. Nothing else will satisfy me. Well, I'll bring you a bag of gold. That's not going to satisfy me. Well, I'll bring you the deed to 1,000 acres of land. I own it all anyway. Well, I'll build you a monument. I am the monument. Well, I'll do this. No, there's no work. There's no effort. There's nothing you can do because it all belongs to God anyway. The only thing that will satisfy God and pay the sin debt is his own son. Watch what it says. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. You see, he was not only made sin, and he was not only separated from the Father, but go back to our study on these Psalms. We've played them over and over again, trying to tie them together at different levels. Psalms 22, Psalms 23, Psalms 24. Go back to that Psalms 22. And what did we read? That's a prophetic psalm again. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Right? That's what's going to happen on Calvary. And what did happen on Calvary? We had this fulfilled. He was not only made to bear our sin, he was separated from the Father, and the broken spirit of the Lord God Almighty, he's hanging there, and he said, I'm taking all this sin, I'm taking all this sickness, I'm taking all this suffering for you and for me. And he looked up to God and he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? See, that was the physical side of all that, coming through with the emotional and spiritual suffering. Isaiah 52, verse 14. As many were a stone at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Isaiah saying that when Jesus got through with the cross, you couldn't recognize him as a man. Now these European artists, these artists in the 1600s and 1700s, they did all these little clean, neat paintings of the crucifixion. They got a little drop of blood here, a little drop of blood here, a little drop of blood here, and they call that the crucifixion. That was not the crucifixion. One night, I remember Terry Michaels drew me a picture of the crucifixion after reading Isaiah. And you go through and read that, and God's gifted him to be able to draw and to visualize things. And when you think about what Jesus looked like, you couldn't even recognize him as a human being. It says his visage was marred, his appearance was marred by the suffering, by the pain of the cross of Calvary. You see? And when I begin to read through this, not only do I have the physical side of this, but what about the spiritual suffering? All that was being manifested here on Jesus. What about the hidden man inside the Lord Jesus Christ? What was the spiritual side of the agony of the cross? This was when our sins and our diseases were all laid upon his physical man. But what about his spiritual man? What happened when all that was laid upon him? His spirit was made sin. Think about that. His spirit was made sickness. He was identifying with fallen men. He's a God in his own being. He was not half God and half man. He was all God and all man. There was nothing there but God Almighty. And yet, he was taking your sin and my sin to take my place and to take your place. And he identified with me. And tonight, I identify with Christ. That's why we're called Christians. We identify with him. Do you understand? It's hard for us to grasp the reality of this substitutionary work. He took literally my place. If he hadn't taken your place, then you would die to pay the sin debt. What this actually means, Larry, is for some it's always been a doctrine, something that the head processes. But what we need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, it's a reality of the heart. He really did take my place. He really did take your place. I'm alive because he made me alive. I was in him and he was in me. This truth is more than a doctrine. It is a reality. Not only was my sin, listen to this, not only was my sin laid upon Him, but I was laid upon Him. You say, what are you talking about? Well, have you been to Jesus today? Every day, I am up on His heart. He is with me. I am with Him. He is still there for me. He's still there for you. I still have access to Him. And He has that privilege of knowing me and knowing me inside and out. And I am laid upon Him. The whole man is involved in what took place in Him taking my place. Literally, when you go back and think about this, when He was nailed to the cross, then you were, with all your sins and all of my sins and all that we've done, we should have been nailed to that cross. But because of this act, we were not nailed. We are experiencing the liberty of knowing our sins have been forgiven. If I go to 2 Corinthians 5:4, even though I'm in a mortal body, this mortal body is filled with the life of God. It says, "For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up." That mortality might be swallowed up. Ladies and gentlemen, sometimes your insides groan and you're groaning because of the war that's raging even inside of you after salvation, that you still struggle with your flesh every day. We still war against this flesh. But one day, glory to God, when we see Him, we shall what? Be like Him. You see? And this struggle, this mortality, this flesh, it still continues. And you keep, what do I do? You have to keep going back to the cross. I have to keep going back to the cross, knowing what's been forgiven and what's been covered. Because when we were laid upon Him, then every day I still have access into the Holy of Holies. If I was nailed to the cross with Him, then my sins were nailed to the cross with Him. And 2 Corinthians 5:4, "For we that are in this tabernacle," this flesh, "we do groan." You see, this tabernacle. Go to Romans 6, the 6th chapter of Romans, verse 14. "For sin shall not have," what? "Dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under" what? "Grace." I am not under the dominion of my flesh. I'm going to tell you something. If God doesn't manage my flesh, if God doesn't manage your flesh, then our flesh will rule and reign over us. Right? We've got to have the manager of the Lord God Almighty. He has to rule and reign over us. But what God's trying to teach all of us through His precious Word is that no longer, that flesh no longer has dominion. It no longer is the controlling force. I am not under the law. I don't have to keep the law. I'm under the grace of God. And the same God that saved me by grace is the same God that will keep me by His marvelous grace. It is the Word that recreates me. It is the Word in me and the Word that I am experiencing going into the Word of God and studying that Word, and that is the recreation every day of me and the Word in me. The Word, it is the Word of God that heals our spirits. Go back in the Psalms again, and it talks about God sent His Word. God sent His Word, the power of the Word, the truth of the Word, the healing of the Word, the help of the Word. And it is the Word, my friend, that produces faith. I have such a battle with faith. My faith, I know, is weak. But where does my faith get food? Where does my faith grow? Where does my faith get strength? It is in the Word, by reading the Word. The Word feeds the faith to believe the Word. And it feeds it that you can grow. It is the Word of God that unveils to us what we really are in Christ Jesus. And what are we really in Christ Jesus? We are new creations. That's what it's all about. If I am with Christ and Christ is with me and I've started on this journey, I'm beginning to understand that He took my place. He substituted Himself for me and for you. He took my pain and suffering. He took my sin and justice that I should have received. If I continue that, keep growing, adding to that, then I begin to understand, well, I'm not what I used to be. Then I'm not the same kind of woman. I'm not the same kind of man. Well, what happened to me? I've been saved. I've been changed. In church talk, we call it being born again, that I have been transformed by the power. And every day that transformation continues through and by the Word of God. You see, it is that new creation. The Word in us and us in the Word. He was made sin. And if He put our sin away, then what did He do? He wanted you and me to live without sin having dominion over us. That's what all this was about. That you could be a new creation in Him. That sin wouldn't control you every day. You say, but I'm addicted to sin. Sin is an addiction. But Jesus Christ sets us free from the addictive power. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what you're into. It doesn't matter what your struggle is. The power to be set free is in the Word of God. That's why that Bible says, and the truth shall set you free. And that's why the devil doesn't want you to read the Bible. That's why the devil doesn't want you to go to church. That's why the devil wants you out of church when you get discouraged or you go through a hard place. What's the natural instinct of the human flesh? Just give up. Forget it. Stay home. I ain't going to do it. Can't do it. I don't believe it. Can't do it. Nobody cares if I live or die. Why? Because the devil is piling on so you can't get in the Word and the Word cannot reach you. Because it is the power of God's Word that restores us. He was made sick with our sicknesses. He put our diseases away. We may have to go through sickness. We may have to go through disease. But He does not abandon us in that time of sickness or suffering. God is faithful. Through every sickness, through every disease, we know not His plan or purpose. We don't know why God requires us to go through that. We're looking through a glass darkly. And all we've got to start understanding tonight is that if I am going to study the life of Christ, then I need to know as I go through the life of Christ that I am identified with Christ. And Christ has already identified Himself with me. We were nailed to the cross and we died with Him. We were buried with Him. We suffered with Him. We were made alive with Him. We were justified with Him. We conquered Satan with Him. We're raised with Him to new life. That's why when we do the baptismal service, buried with Jesus and resurrected to newness of life. And finally, that one I keep bringing up, we don't have time to get into it tonight. We were seated with Him at the right hand of the Father. The whole program of the substitutionary ministry of Jesus Christ, that His sacrifice is made real through the Spirit of God and His precious Word. Go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. All these things are now ours. If I'm in Him and He's in me, if I'm identified with Christ, Christ is already identified with me. If I'm going to study about the life of Christ, then I need to know Ephesians 1, 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Where has He blessed us with all that? In where? And what's the next part of that? In Christ. Where is the heavenly place that I'm blessed? I am blessed in heavenly places in heavenly places, in heavenly places, in Christ. It's me in Him, and He is in me. I want you to walk out that door tonight and maybe start thinking about it for the first time as an adult, that Jesus Christ really does live inside of me. Not just on Sunday, not just in Sunday school. I mean, He does Wednesdays, does Thursdays. He lives in you. He's alive in you. You can have victory over sin. You can have victory over addictions. You can be more than conquerors because He's living in you. You can cope with the grief. You can cope with financial reversals. You can cope with more months than there is money. I don't know what to do. I can't solve this. Don't try to. Give it to Him. Abide in Him. Be victorious in Him. He took your place. Hey, you're going home to be with Him for all eternity. The worst thing the devil can do is give you a few hours of aggravation and torment you and aggravate you and frustrate you and terrify you. And every now and then you ought to just get up and go, na-na-na-boo-boo, I'm saved, and you can't do nothing about it. Washed in the blood of the Lamb, I am a child of the King. Do not give the devil the pleasure of even thinking that you're miserable, sad, lonely, frustrated, or aggravated. Don't give him the time of day. Tell him to take a long walk on a short pier. If you have to, go in the basement and tell him a few things. I mean, I go down the basement there now. I talk to him. I tell him where he can take off and go. I send him back home. Hey, we are in Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is in us. We abide in Him, and He abides in us. We're living way below our birthright. Huh? We're living below our birthright. We need to live in the victory. Don't live below your birthright. He died for you so you could have liberty and you could have joy. And you've got to have peace that passes understanding. You say, Pastor, you don't know about all my problems. You don't know how good your God is. You say, but I got stuff I can't fix. I got a God and fix anything. But you say, I'm about to lose my mind. He'll give you a new mind. He'll refresh your mind. He'll give you a crazy pastor. And let's look at you and laugh and say, glory to God, we're going to make it through this. You've got to understand, it's not me, it's not you, it's Him in us. And we will get through this together. We're not going to quit right before the trumpet sounds. We're not going to quit right before the trumpet sounds. We're going to believe God. We're going to believe His Word. We're going to stand together. You know that World War II band of brothers? You know what we really got is we've got a bond of brothers. We're bonded together in the Lord Jesus Christ because we identify with Him, and He identifies with us.